Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour, Ben and Woods, brought to you by Spectrum Business. Now more than ever, small businesses need the best internet and phone solutions at the best value. And Spectrum Business is proud to help, offering new customers 1 month of internet, voice, and TV service for free. Visit business.spectrum.com today to learn more. Got our NFL Insider Report coming up right around the corner. Jim Trotter from the NFL Network standing by. First, though, let's get a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
Let's do a deep dive into the biggest news in the NFL. This is the NFL Insider Report on Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, let's get to it. Let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline, joined by one of our favorites. Jim Trotter from the NFL Network is with us. Good morning to you, Jim.
What's going on, Ben?
Yeah, we're feeling pretty good. Now, with no preseason, we didn't really know what week one was going to look like, especially with fans in almost none of those stadiums. So how did you think the NFL handled it? What was your kind of overall impression of football without people in the stands in week one?
I thought on the field, I thought play was cleaner than I had anticipated. I expected it to be a little more sloppy, more penalties, those sorts of things early on. But I thought for the most part, it was fairly clean for a week one outing. From a visual perspective or from even a fan perspective, a media perspective, being in an empty stadium watching a game was sort of, it was beyond surreal. It was just, I'm trying to figure out how to describe it, but there was no energy in the building, obviously, because there are no fans there. And to me, that's not what football is all about. And so I'm happy to have football back. I'm happy the games are being played. You know, for what we did from a media standpoint, I could watch it from my couch and then do Zoom calls after the game, which is what they do. You have no access to players or coaches one-on-one after, and write a story or a column that way. So it was kind of weird for me. I think you can tell by the way I'm stuttering here that it's, I didn't enjoy it, but I enjoy football, so I'm glad it's back.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about, we were both at the Dodgers-Padre game yesterday, and it's a, I mean, look, you're a game and a half out or whatever, and it was dead. It's dead. There's no energy. You look like you're watching a high school scrimmage, and so we can definitely relate, and it is nice to have it back, though, for sure. Bigger surprise for you. Were you surprised at all by how, how bad some of the new guys looked, the new old guys? Phillip Rivers being one for Indianapolis and Tom Brady for the Buccaneers?
Not really. I think you knew that there would be a transition period. And I said this earlier, I think the Bucs will be a much more dangerous team by the end of the year than at the start of the year because of some of the adjustments that have to take place. For Phillip, man, it was disappointing. It was more of the same, you know, just some really, at times, bad decision-making. And that's kind of what haunted him, you know, in his later years with the Chargers. So, you know, my feeling going in with Phillip was that with that offensive line in the run game, and I know Marlon Mack got hurt, but with that line, with that run game, that pressure would be taken off of him, and he wouldn't feel the need to try and win games himself.
Yeah.
And beyond that first drive, it was not good. So it's going to be interesting to see how he and Frank Reich, you know, get on the same page going forward, and whether or not they'll get on the same page. Because the one thing with Phillip, when he's turning the ball over, it compromises the club. And what's interesting is that when I talked to some Charger folks about beating the Bengals on Sunday with such a woeful offensive performance, and some of them were honest and said, we don't win that game last year because we turned the ball over. They said, at least by not turning the ball over with Tyrod this year, we had a chance to win it there. So it's just interesting how games play out.
Ouch. Wow. NFL
that's
crazy.
Jim Trotter is with us here on Ben and Woods this morning. Speaking of the Chargers and the Rams, SoFi Stadium debuted. Not obviously what the NFL, you know, was expecting, with no fans in the stands. You know, Roger Goodell was there. I thought a pretty good win for the Rams to beat the Cowboys. The Chargers will host the Chiefs, obviously, this weekend. That's going to be a tough one for the L.A. Chargers for sure. But that building, the fact that it is done, just kind of your impressions, Jim.
No, it's impressive. I mean, look, it's a $5 billion project. It's that alone speaks to what it's all about. And it's funny, everybody was talking about, you know, oh, Stan Kroenke and you know, the house that Stan built and this, that, and the other. And the truth is, it was the other guy in that box that really built that stadium, and that was Jerry Jones. Because if you go back in history, at the time that the league was making the vote on who was going to go into L.A., the relocation committee favored the Chargers and Raiders bid for L.A. over the Rams. And it wasn't until Jerry Jones came in at that meeting and said, look, guys, L.A. is too important. When we go in there, we got to do it bigger than life, and we have to have an owner who can write a check for cost overruns, because there will be cost overruns. And that was Stan Kroenke. And Jerry swayed the other owners to swing their votes to the Rams and Stan Kroenke over the Chargers and Raiders. So as much as I got a kick out of everyone talking about Stan Kroenke in that stadium, it was really Jerry Jones who got the Rams into L.A.
And they were right. What was the original estimate on that project?
Wasn't it like two something?
Yeah, like $2.2 billion. I mean, talk about cost overrun. We're not talking, oh yeah, we went over by 10,000-20,000 in our budget. No, you went over by $3 billion in your budget for that building.
You know, I'm telling you, it's nice to be part of the Kroenke and Walmart family.
Isn't the NFL Network going to have a big setup there as well at some point?
We are. We're moving our headquarters there, our West Coast headquarters there next year. The goal initially, I believe, was to get in there this year, but with COVID and everything that's gone on, I think it was put off for a year. So I haven't been up to our L.A. offices since the last time I was there was March 18th because of the pandemic, and I don't foresee going up anytime soon as well because of it. So it's been a really strange year.
It really has. We haven't seen our studio since like March 8th, and we're Ben's parents' house right now. It's just this is where we are. I want we're talking to our pal Jim Trotter here on Ben and Woods this morning. I wanted to ask you too, regarding tonight's game. Ben kind of said it in jest earlier. Woodsy, are you fired up for Browns Bengals? And I initially thought, well, not really, and then I thought, well, okay, there's no Padre game tonight, so I like Baker Mayfield. I loved what he did his rookie season. And logic would tell you, Jim, okay, you've got a good quarterback. Let's add a bunch of pieces that are really, really good, and that will make him an even better quarterback. Logic makes no sense because it has not worked for Baker Mayfield. I like what I saw out of Joe Burrow last week. Tonight's matchup, not asking you to handicap it, tell me who's going to win, just your overall kind of thoughts on what's wrong with Baker, and do you think Joe can be a real quarterback in this league?
The reality may be that Baker isn't as good as people thought after his rookie season. You know, you can keep making excuses. The talent around him is there.
Yeah.
And it's been there the last couple of years. You know, they got rid of Freddie Kitchens and brought in Kevin Stefanski, who's a respected play caller, and they said he's going to use more play designs that are suited to Baker's talents, meaning getting him outside of the pocket, throwing on the run, moving towards the sideline off boots and whatnot, and he still looked awful. He and Odell have an issue. For whatever reason, the two of them cannot get on the same page and have not been able to get on the same page, and that's a problem for them. So I just say at some point you have to stop making excuses for players and say maybe a player isn't what we thought he was. And remember, the GM there, Andrew Berry, is in his first year. He was not the guy that drafted Baker Mayfield. So as we know, historically, when new guys come in, they are not tied to the guys who were there previously. So yep. I think this is a really important year for Baker, because if he doesn't perform, number one, I don't see them picking up the fifth-year option. And two, I don't see them staying committed to him. So there's a lot at stake for not just the Browns, but him this season.
Man, life comes at you so fast. He was the toast of Cleveland. I mean, LeBron left and was like, well, hey, we're fine. Baker, Mayfield, and it just goes to show you, man.
Well, he came in doing national commercials and whatnot. Oh, yeah. He hadn't earned anything yet, you know, and that's the problem sometimes, I think, when you have a fan base that's so starved for success. And these Brown fans deserve success with everything that they've been through since that franchise, you know, restarted in Cleveland. But they were so desperate for it, and I was one of them who was kind of buying in early because I wanted that success for that city. But he hasn't shown me that he's that guy.
That game tonight, 5:20 on NFL Network. Jim Trotter, NFL Insider Report from NFL Network. Just to be fair, that starts the week two. Ending week two is Monday Night Football. We're actually going to have it on ABC this week in Las Vegas. And since I asked you about SoFi, get your impressions. You probably haven't seen it in person yet. Allegiant Stadium there, Jim, in Las Vegas. But the Raiders' move has been pretty, I don't know, I don't want to say under the radar, but it seems like it's gone pretty smooth. They got a good win against Carolina last week. They got the Saints on Monday night, and they're finally going to get their stage, as it were, for their new stadium this weekend.
Yeah, no question. You know, initially I was asked about going to that game. I'm like, nah, no flying for me right now. So I won't see it. I'll be watching it from the couch like you guys. But, look, it's funny about the whole relocation thing up to L.A. and franchises jumping around, and the one that may have made out the best at this point is the Raiders.
Yeah.
When you look at the cost of moving to Vegas was not what Stan Kroenke is paying to go in and build that stadium in L.A. And then the facilities there and everything else, and people that I've talked to say that Mark Davis is going to make a financial killing in that market. So I'm interested to see if that actually plays out that way. But, no, look, they've turned the roster upside down since John Gruden there. It's now his roster. It's now his players, so there are no more excuses. Derek Carr says he doesn't want to be disrespected anymore, so this is the season that he has been building towards. So they'll get a good test on Monday night, even if Michael Thomas does not play for the Saints, which he's not expected to play. That Saints team is awfully good. So we'll know just where the Raiders are, I think, after this game. Because beating Carolina, even in Carolina, in an empty stadium, doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Jim, good stuff. Appreciate you joining this morning. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. You guys have a good one.
Thanks,
Jim Trotter, NFL Network on our SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU online and mobile banking. Let you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com.
That was the NFL Insider Report on Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino. Get away and embrace the escape at San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely generous place to play. Safe and smart, Hamul Casino, Highway 94 to Campo Road.
So you do have no Padres, as you mentioned, Woodsy, tonight, so you're going to have to fill your time elsewhere. You can watch Bengals-Browns. You also have one NBA game, Game 2, of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. The Heat, of course, won Game 1 kind of dramatically on that block shot by Bam Adebayo, stuffing Jason Tatum, going for the tying dunk there in the final seconds of Game 1. We didn't even really talk about that much yesterday, but they'll bounce back Game 2 tonight at 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals with the L.A. Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets there in the Orlando bubble. Any other baseball series you're interested in? The Dodgers move on to face the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field.
Yeah, definitely not that one.
Later today, the Yankees have gotten hot. They're playing the Toronto Blue Jays again today.
The wood to them lately. Yeah. I mean, 20 runs, 13 runs, I think, last night. So what's the playoff picture right now? I mean,
That's something I'd like to delve into at some point and,
sure,
and kind of find
well,
out.
Well, you know, like the one series that's actually hugely important to the playoffs.
Yeah, tell me which one I need to be watching, Ben.
Is the San Francisco Giants and the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
That two-gamer that got moved, actually, to the Bay Area because of the smoke in Seattle. The Padres are going to head up to face the Mariners. But both of those teams, I think the San Francisco Giants right now are holding on still to the 8th seed in the National League.
So let me ask you a question. We now need to pull for the Giants, right? Because don't we feel like, what is it? It's five games in the first round, right? So if they're the 8, Dodgers are the 1. Giants-Dodgers first round is, there's a rivalry there. You never know what could happen. On paper, obviously, the Dodgers are the far superior team. But when it comes to a rivalry series, best out of 5, anything can happen. We're rooting for the Giants,
yeah,
are we not?
Right now, the Giants and Phillies are actually both tied for the 7-8 at 24-24.
So it'll be one of those two,
yeah,
more
and
than
then,
likely?
The Reds are actually 25-26, but because they're in second place, they would be the 6th seed right now in the National League. The 5 seed would be the Miami Marlins, 25-22.
And that's what the Padres would play.
Yeah, the Padres are still, what, 7? Still 5 games up on the Marlins for that 4 seed.
Okay.
With 9 to play.
I like
so,
that.
I mean, the Padres...
We're looking at a 4 seed.
Yeah, I mean, the Padres really, I mean, just like 2 or 3 more wins easily will clinch that 4 seed.
And the 4 plays the 5.
And the 4 plays the 5. In the American League, it's interesting. You know pretty much that the White Sox, the Twins, the Rays, the Yankees are all in. The A's are in. The battle for second place in the West, though, is still on. The Astros are 24-25. They're only 2 games up on the Mariners, though. That's why that series is important. Mariners are 22-27. They can't get that wild card, but they could steal that second place spot from the Astros.
Wild.
With a hot final week. So that's why that series in San Francisco is important and why this Padres series is going to be really important for the Mariners as well.
Man.
So that's something to look forward to this weekend. All right, we got 1 hour still to go on Ben and Woods. Get you a U.S. Open update. We will talk more Padres Dodgers series with Dylan Hernandez. It's all coming up. Stay tuned. Ben and Woods right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.